Dr. Dennis Rankert. He's a retired former full professor of physics at the University of Ottawa. He became a National Sciences and Engineering Research Council University Research Fellow in Canada. He's currently a researcher at the Ontario Civil Liberties Association and a member scientist at PANDA, Pandemics Data and Analysis. He has published over 100 research papers in leading peer-reviewed scientific journals in the areas of physics, chemistry, geology, material science, soil science, and environmental science. He has done industrial application research on the technology of filtration, and this is important, with applicability to filters such as face masks. His scientific impact factor is 40, and his articles have been cited more than 5,000 times in peer-reviewed scientific journals. He's an expert in statistic analysis methods, mathematic modeling, and measurement methods. Dr. Rankert, in addition, is a frequent media commentator. His recent video interviews and reporting videos about the science of COVID-19 epidemic and the science of face masks for preventing viral respiratory diseases have been viewed more than 2 million times in both French and English. Today, he's going to address us in English, I hope. So, Dr. Rankert, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. I can't seem to find how to share my screen. I've got permission. But anyway, let me just introduce. Maybe I won't use slides because I see a screen there, but it's not the one I want to show. And I'm trying to put my screen. Anyway, I can't seem to. I've got U control screen. Well, I'm really sorry about that, but I cannot get my usual menu to put up my PowerPoint, and I just can't get my computer to. Oh, there it is. Okay, now where the heck? No, that's something else. Okay, well, we'll forget about the slides then. I'm really sorry about that. The work I wanted to tell you about today is all-cause mortality. Now, I've been studying all-cause mortality in great detail and for many countries, and it's important to look at all-cause mortality because it's not reliable. The mortality that's ascribed to a viral respiratory disease is not reliably ascribed. You need full autopsies and things like that to achieve that. And so that's why you look at it. Now, a pandemic, it has two fundamental definitions, parts of its definition. One is that it basically occurs everywhere because it's presumed that there's no prior immunity. So it does not respect jurisdictional boundaries. A pandemic will not respect country boundaries or boundaries between a province in Canada and another province and so on. That is not possible. Yet we see these very clear signs of mortality changing dramatically from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. And I wish I could have showed you my diagrams, but I can't. But that occurs. And the other big thing about a pandemic is that it causes many deaths. Pandemics are believed and have been stated in the scientific literature repeatedly that they should cause between 5 and 50 times more death than a usual viral epidemic in a given region. So you have to be able to see it in the all-cause mortality. There has to be an upsurge. Okay, so when you look at all-cause mortality by time, as a, you know, per week, on a per week basis or per month basis or per day basis, what you find are very regular humps in the wintertime in northern latitude, northern hemisphere, mid-latitude countries, and then a trough in the summer. Now, the troughs are very regularly occurring on a smooth curve, typically linear on a decadal time scale, whereas the peaks at wintertime are very erratic. They can be higher some years, lower some other years. The shapes can be different and so on. Okay. But the pattern is always very regular, and it always corresponds, the winter burden, the integral under that peak always corresponds to between, at least, you know, since the 60s, to between 5 and 15% of total yearly mortality. And so when you have a pandemic, you're supposed to rise above that, and we don't see it. I've looked in detail at France, Canada, many European countries, We don't see it. And what we see is an integrated mortality that is the same as usual. So it, at least in Canada, we can say a pandemic has not occurred. However, if you look at the functional shape of that all-cause mortality, like on a per day or per week basis, what you find is a very sharp peak that has a surge immediately after the World Health Organization announced its pandemic on March 11, 2020, and asked everyone to prepare their hospitals. And so that's when many governments locked down the old folks' homes, did not treat the old folks, did not allow them to get out if they got sick to be treated and so on. And there is an immediate rise at this very late stage in what is normally the winter cycle of these extra deaths due to viral respiratory diseases and the co-bacterial infections and so on. So there was a very sharp rise that lasted 2 months, a half width of 1 month. It came straight down afterwards that you can see in many countries. But the point is that sharp peak, which we've called the COVID peak, does not occur in some countries at all. In some Canadian provinces, it doesn't occur. In some 30 of the 50 states in the United States, it simply is not detected. It does not occur. Whereas it is catastrophically large in states like New York and in other jurisdictions. So it is a phenomenon that is very granular in terms of the jurisdiction. And you can go down and look at that granularity down to the county level. In France, in our studies, we found that there was a hot spot in one county, and we identified a particular hospital where a lot of people had died. So it really was about how the measures were applied. In France, we're able to look at the use of medication, and we were able to see that they stopped using antibiotics for elderly people that were sick. They just presumed that it was the viral infection. They stopped, and many people would have died because of that, and so on. We can make relationships to how medications were used. So the exception to this rule that the all-cause mortality was not dramatically high is in the United States especially. There really was a war against people. And you can really see that even in what is normally the summer trough, after that 2019-2020 winter, all the countries went down to the summer trough levels in all-cause mortality, but not the United States. In fact, they have a huge peak there. And when we integrated the magnitude of that peak, we found that it was located geographically in the southern states of the United States, big red region in the map there, where there's a lot of poverty and a lot of very desperate people that were being abused by these restrictive measures and where they were taken, you know, their part-time employment was taken from them and so on. So We saw a real attack against people that created a lot of deaths in the United States. And the United States is one of the only countries where you can look at all-cause mortality as a function of time from 1900 all the way to 2020. And there's this regular decrease. You don't see any of the pandemics coming up. That's known in the scientific literature that you can't detect the so-called pandemics, all the usual ones that we've heard when you actually look at mortality. And Doshi was one who has written a lot about this. And the only exception is the 1919 peak. And then it just comes down in a very regular way. It sort of plateaus from the 1960s on. And recently, there was a huge increase of about 20% increase in total yearly mortality rate in 2020, which is due to what was done in the United States, which is very different from state to state. In some states were untouched and other states had these dramatic death tolls. Oh, now you had a question, Martin.
Oh, well, Professor Ranker, I would like to ask you to, as the topic now is the false pandemic. If I may, I would like to ask you a few questions because I'm so proud that we have you here today as a speaker. I mean, the highest impact on the perception of SARS-CoV-2 of the pandemic had, of course, the reports on people dying from COVID-19. What is your guess that for the first time in medical history, it was not only the introduction of the term died with or from SARS-CoV-2, which of course pushes figures up, but also that there was merely no official interest to differentiate in between these both conditions.
Yeah, no, that's clear. That's one of the big problems is that there's extraordinary bias in attributing the cause of death, especially when you want a single cause of death, and in the midst of a media frenzy where you're talking about a pandemic. This has been known since the beginning of epidemiology. It is a major problem, and the way that we resolve that problem is to look at all-cause mortality. That's specifically why you look at the detailed, robust data of all-cause mortality and look at the features, the variations, jurisdiction to jurisdiction. You can do it by age. You can do it by sex. You can do it by region. And so that is what you look at. That's what I've been concentrating on, because all of the other viral classed deaths, you know, coronavirus classed deaths, are completely unreliable. It's garbage. And so I have looked at it enough to realize that those are garbage figures. And so the best thing to do is to ignore them and to look at hard facts.
I mean, by the way, Portugal have now published that only 0.9% of the number given died from COVID-19.
Yes.
The general perception is that COVID-19 was a killer, or it still is a killer pandemic, substantially increasing the death rate all over the world. So please let me simply ask you, was there an excessive global death rate due to SARS-CoV-2 in 2020?
Yes, well, that's what I was trying to explain, is that in the United States, you can see the death rate in 2020 rose from the plateau level that we have in these recent decade to the value we had at the end of the Second World War. Okay, there was definitely a large increase. I am convinced by looking at the data that that increase is due to a war against people and the economy, and not due to some virus, because it is extremely granular. It does not occur in 30, in many of the states. The summertime deaths, for example, can be shown to have occurred among young people. The huge peak that first occurred, the very first peak after the announcement of the pandemic, is absent in 30 of the states. So the granular nature tells you that this was not about the spread of a viral disease, and that it had to be what was being done in those jurisdictions and the overall attack against people and their way of life. I mean, society was disrupted. My conclusion is society was disrupted and brought it back to the level of health status and disruption of the society that we had after the Second World War.
That's exactly what I wanted to ask you. I mean, some of these measures taken in various countries, like lockdowns, had huge impact also on the health of the population. Could you please comment on the so-called collateral damage, and also could you try to quantify that?
In my papers, we have quantified it. For example, that very sharp peak that I talked about that occurred just after the announcement, we quantified it for France. 30,000 people were killed by the complete overhaul and the change of how they treated people. There is no doubt about this. It's a very sharp peak. It's completely anomalous. It's highly granular. It's from county to county different, depending on which hospital and where the care homes were and so on. 30,000 people were elderly people were locked into old folks' homes without the possibility of being treated, encouraged to be sedated, not ever given antibiotics, even if they had, not even looking if they had bacterial infections, which normally saves a lot of elderly people's lives. In Canada, for example, that sharp peak, same thing, province to province, its absence or very high. In the province of Quebec, it was extraordinarily high. And what you find when you look at this peak, if you look at just the 85 and over age in that all-cause mortality peak, what you find is that it shoots back down. And then in the summer, you have less deaths than you normally would, and that you have had on a very regular trend of the last decade. Now, why is it that the 85-year-olds have not died in the summer immediately following in Canada? It's because you killed them all in that peak where you locked them into their care homes, where we know that the spread of viruses in the built environment is how it happens through aerosols and so on. So you injected the care homes with people from hospitals like they did in New York and so on. You refused to treat anyone. You refused to let them out. You locked them in and you let them all get infected and see who's going to die. And then you don't provide treatment as they would normally get. This is the opposite of what has been recommended in the scientific literature. In the scientific literature, epidemics in care homes are well known. And what you do is as soon as someone gets infected, you take them out of there and you treat them. That's how you deal with epidemics, preventing epidemics in care homes. The opposite was done. The opposite was done. So it's clear that there was a killing field for old people in that very first peak. And in the summer that followed, a lot of killing affected young men, 0 to 45 and older, somewhat older than 45 years old. The statistics for Canada are very clear. That is the group that was affected in the summer, okay, as a result of this economic takedown. And then a huge rise again, which affected everybody, which now you have the cumulative effects of all these lockdowns, the economic devastation, the despair among young men, and so on. You have it all together, and then you've got this other peak, the so-called second wave that occurs. That's how I understand it.
Professor Ankert, sorry, but we have only two more minutes left, but I have still some questions. Maybe you could answer them briefly, because it's very fascinating. I mean, if we learn from the past and look into the future, if we should see an excessive death rate in future, how could we distinguish in between the deaths caused by SARS-CoV-2 and those generated by anti-corona measures representing the so-called collateral damage?
Well, my answer is the same. You have to look at the all-cause mortality data. I'm sorry I can't show you the graphs, but the interpretation is immediate. You look at the timing. You look at the nature of the change compared to 100 years history of these things through many so-called pandemics and so on. You look at the granularity. You look at the ages that are affected, because you can do it by age group. You can see from looking at the all-cause mortality that there is no way that this was a pandemic. It is the result of deaths that occurred on a jurisdictional basis, depending on what you did in those jurisdictions. I am absolutely convinced of that.
Okay, but under the bottom line now, what is your explanation that most of the countries reacted in the same way? And that those in line sometimes used even their power to coerce other countries to join this general strategy?
You see, they may have had very similar policies, but they did not act in the same way, in the sense that there's huge disparity in how these recommendations are implemented from hospital to hospital, from care home to care home, from province to province, from county to county. There is, for example, in Quebec, the workers of the care homes were so frightened by the pandemic and the frenzy that was happening, they stopped going to work. They abandoned these people. This abandonment happened in Ontario as well. So many people died of neglect, pure and simple. So it's the legal structure and the culture and and how people reacted can be very different from place to place. And that's why this phenomenon is so granular. Look at medication use as well. What the MDs decided to do in a particular jurisdiction in terms of which medication they were going to use, what the protocol for treatment was. There were some horrible so-called treatment protocols that were implemented that contributed to that sharp peak at the very beginning. I have no doubt about that. So I have not in any of my work seen the signs of a viral respiratory disease acting in society. What I have seen is the usual array of all the pathogens that act in terms of killing much more efficiently during the winter. And that in that context of pathogens, when society and the economy were perturbed in this way, you had these jurisdictional differences in the death tolls that I try to elaborate in my articles. Yeah.
Okay. Professor Rankert, thank you very much for giving this kind of presentation. I didn't miss any slide. It was fascinating to listen to you. So thank you very much on that.